We've been promising that our last show of the year will be called the AI Apocalypse. Well, here it is. First, some crazy but true facts. All but one of these facts about AI is true. An AI-generated piece of art entitled AI God sold for $1.3 million at Sotheby's. Number two, AI robots are now obtaining citizenship status. Number three, AI engines generate reliable information half the time. Number four, AI robots actually dream in nightmares. Number five, and finally, this episode contains our mind-bending analysis about how AI can help both media companies and the small businesses they serve. Welcome to our year-end 2025, New Year's 2026 episode, The AI Apocalypse.
Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, now in its seventh year of delivering unique insights from two of the industry's brightest and most entertaining analysts, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's podcast is sponsored by Semify, a white-label SEO engine that seamlessly integrates into existing workflows, and by GroundTruth, an ad platform that turns real-world behavior into marketing that drives real business results. And now, here are your hosts, Corey and Gordon.
Welcome in, everyone, especially all of you AI bots out there. My name is Corey Elliott, and that real live human in the flesh is Gordon Burrell.
So, everybody, Happy New Year. Happy end of year 2025.
New year.
Beginning of year 2026, whatever time you may be listening to this.
The last year that we will not be held as slaves to our AI tech masters.
I think it's the beginning of many more years of being held as AI slaves. But hey, I listened to the intro. You've got some great stuff there. Tell me which one is false. Come on, please.
No, let's put it together. In fact, let's be honest. You can probably take that list, put it into AI, put it into Google, put it into Gemini, and get the facts for you. Or can you? If that one is true, half the things it returns is false. Can you rely on that?
Okay, now it's getting weird. So anyway, one of them was that this episode contains, what do you call it,
mind-bending analysis
of how AI can help both media companies and the small businesses they serve. So that could be false. Maybe it's not mind-bending at all. Yeah. But we should mention on our big webinar, hundreds attended, on your forecast for local advertising for 2026, we did mention a change in direction for not only the company, but especially the podcast in 2026. And that is, we're going to make this slow shift from talking a lot about media companies, Corey, to what?
To hubcaps.
I knew I could rely on you.
See, I returned false information.
Yeah, we're going to provide insights and speak more directly to SMBs. And immediately, did you hear what one of the attendees said? You know, they asked us a question, does that mean you're going to be competing with us?
Yeah. So all kidding aside, we decided that in 2026, we're going to focus our efforts on helping. We have a lot of information from local businesses about marketing. We want to help them with that. No, we do not sell advertising. We are not an agency. We are a data and insight provider.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons of the shift is it's our mission. Our mission initially was, hey, we're going to help media companies deal with the disruptive innovation of the internet. Yep. And we said, we've done as much as we could in 25 years. SMBs, why don't we make that our focus, helping entrepreneurs, which in the end was the mission of media companies as well. So we felt that we, in a roundabout way, were helping local businesses, local entrepreneurs, the backbone of America, survive by sorting through all this marketing mess, you know, and marketing waste that's out there. Well, now we're going direct, right, Corey?
Yeah, it's basically putting our money where our mouth is. If you've come to a conference or a Burrell conference or listened to these podcasts, watched videos, or just read our reports, you can tell that our angle is always local media companies need to be educators, need to be partners with local businesses. And some media companies are, and some just look at us, nod their heads and go, yep, and keep doing what they've always been doing.
And not to reveal. Yeah, me too. little pissed. You know, so we're going direct. We're going to help businesses directly. But still, you know, it's not much is really going to change because we still are offering information and advice about SMBs and marketing. The media companies will find useful. It's like, no, we're going to try to speak directly to SMBs. And I hope that'll be useful to everybody in the end. But not to blow the ending of the show, when we take a look right after the commercial break about what we asked ChatGPT and Perplexity and Gemini, your idea, Corey, why don't you tell them about the question we asked each of the engines, two different questions.
We came up with two questions, two very simple questions. And one was, what is the biggest AI opportunity, the greatest opportunity for AI, of AI, for local media, I should say, and the greatest threat of AI to local media? That same question, both Gordon and I took that question in our little closets and went to Chat, went to Gemini, went to Perplexity, asked those three engines this very same question. So we got back, not only did we get back slightly different answers per engine, but because we're different users and we use these three engines in different ways, between the two of us, we got back different answers. So that was the experiment.
Yeah. And back to the previous discussion we had about focusing on, you know, going direct and giving information to SMBs, AI came back independent of knowing that we were going to do this and basically said, you know, you really need to focus on SMBs, but they were talking about media companies, and it's part of our frustration is, you know, you really do need to focus on their needs instead of trying to sell them, you know, advertising, newspaper advertising or TV advertising. Hey, we'll add some digital to this and everything will work great. So let's hold that thought. Let's give the answers. We got a couple of minutes before the commercial break. So what was true, Corey, in those things that you gave, and what was false?
All right. The AI-generated piece of art, $1.3 million at Sotheby's, true. Let's get to another one. Let's skip to this one. AI robots actually dream in nightmares? Yes.
They do. They can dream. They're certain type of models, right? That plug into brains. So dream really, really bizarre nightmares. So don't you think one of them is going to become kind of psychotic? Just wake up and go, where's the knife?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where's the gun?
Yeah, living in end times right now. AI robots are now obtaining citizenship status. Do you think that was true or false? Well, you know the answer, don't you?
Okay, that could be the false one because it's an exaggeration. AI robots. But it is true that an AI robot has citizenship. And it's a weird instance, and it was in 2016. So yes, an AI robot, not AI robots. And it was a, you know, okay, maybe there's a lesson there. It was in Saudi Arabia, Sophia, I think her name was, in 2016. The owner, I think it was Hanson Robotics, decided to get citizenship. And I don't think he doing it for any reason other than to say Saudi Arabia doesn't give women rights. So therefore, my robot is going to get citizenship. And ha, 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 look, you even gave rights to a robot that was a woman. So AI has already been used for the past 9 years in some type of political, social manipulation, right?
Yep. Okay. And my father just told me, my 89-year-old father just told me this weekend that somebody married an AI, either a chatbot or something like that. They got married to AI. So good. Congratulations.
Oh, that's just weird.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're coming down to it. Then there isn't anything false, but one that's sort of kind of, you know, an exaggeration.
Well, we haven't gotten through all of them. I sent the best two for the last. So the new study showing that at best AI engines generate reliable information half the time. Yeah, that's true.
True. And we'll thank my friend, Alan Jacobson, who's a creative guy, a designer, used to do newspaper design, has done some other things, invented a few things. But he and I were having this discussion. He said, you know that ChatGPT has a hallucination rate of 51% and Gemini's is 88%. That doesn't mean Gemini's wrong like 88% of the time. It means that when asked to provide verifiable, grounded answers, it frequently produces confident but untrue output. That's from a company called, you should look it up. Artificial Analysis is the company. They do the studies and they've developed an omniscience index. Yeah. Omniscience. It looks like it should be omnipotence or something. Yeah, an omniscience index. It measures knowledgeable reliability and hallucination. So yes, At best, I think it's Claude has the best rate. It has a 48% hallucination rate, which means 48% of the time, it ain't exactly right.
Right. And that leads into what we'll talk about after the commercial about the analysis, about how AI, knowing all of this, how can AI help both media companies and small businesses? And what does AI think the opportunities and threats are? So we'll get to that after the commercial.
So let's take a quick commercial break. We'll get to that and a couple of other things right after this.
And now, a few words from finance.
Marketing just gave me their campaign report, and they are obsessed with likes. Generating likes, counting likes. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like being liked, but you can't pay employees with likes or follows. I've never seen either of those on a P&L report. The point is, we have to get our customers to buy stuff and like visit the stores.
Ground Truth, the advertising platform for when you need real business results. Visit us at groundtruth.com.
Semify's white label API slides quietly into your existing workflow, an invisible layer powering seamless digital growth. We're built for agencies ready to scale smarter and grow faster without limits. That includes redefining digital visibility for local businesses with the development of our AI optimization tool, the first and only of its kind. But our world-class expert service and 100% US-based team is what truly makes us your partner. We provide unparalleled support and responsiveness. Ready to talk growth? Visit Semify.com.
Okay, we're back. Corey, before we get into the comparison, I wanted to mention one thing. You know, we have an announcer for this show, and we'll have an announcer for this show throughout 2026. Patty Ford is her name. She's not AI. So we're not doing stuff with AI, you know, on this show like other people, you know, may be doing. But I also wanted to mention that Patty is a female, and she has this wonderful, wonderful voice. And do you know that most AI engines also have a female voice? And I bet you know why, right?
Because who wants to listen to a man? Is that it?
No, this is why AI has a feminine voice in most cases. Neuroimaging research, I'm reading this, okay, on the role of voice gender in verbal processing suggests more brain activation in the right hemisphere, more specifically in the auditory complex, when listeners listen to female voices than when they listen to male voices. So you're already being manipulated when you say, Alexa. And Alexa comes back, hi. You know, my ChatGPT bot, voice bot, which is really cool. If you have ChatGPT, you should put it on to get the app on your smartphone, and it does it, is a female. And she's very nice, and she's very conversational, and she calls me by my first name, and I believe what she's saying, and I didn't really realize there was an 88% hallucination effect in all of this. So we're all being manipulated. I thought I would say that before we started into, hey, listen to what AI just told us about the future of media and what they need to do.
Right. It makes sense, too. I wonder if the differences are a little bit different between the sexes. They both prefer female, but for different reasons. I wonder, that'd be interesting. Get on that, will you?
Yeah, okay. Well, go ahead.
So what we did, to remind you, we asked three different engines, ChatGPT, Gemini, and Perplexity, the same questions about what is the greatest opportunity of AI for local media and what is the greatest threat of AI to local media. I did it and got my answers. And Gordon, you did it and got your answers. And then we kind of put them together. Let's start with the greatest opportunity. Let's be rosy. Let's be positive. What are some of the themes you saw?
It really did come down to one thing, and that is keeping the customer in mind. Now, you're a media company, and if you're a reporter, the customer is readers. Okay, well, maybe that too. But the thing that fuels readership or the things that fuels viewership or listenership at radio and TV in terms of paying the salaries is advertising. So it came back and it said, become the indispensable growth partner for SMBs at scale. All local media should turn their legacy advantages, which are audience, brand, and feet on the street, to scalable, data-driven marketing services, and then reposition the media seller. How many times have you heard this? Do we need a robot to tell us this? Repositioning the media seller to a marketing expert. So in the end, it is listening to your customer and serving your customer.
I got a lot of the same thing. ChatGPT, for me, told me that media companies, it'll be advantageous for them to scale local insight, that they would AI could help them do that. while Gemini talked a lot about the creative process, that it could provide like mom and pop shops with high-end video and help on the creative side. And Perplexity was all about, again, back to turning local outlets into scalable, done-for-you marketing partners. A lot of it was, for me, was about leveraging efficiency in the back office. Like, we're going to leverage efficiency so that you can be more of a partner to local businesses, seemed to be an overriding theme.
Yeah, listen to what Perplexity said. So this is under an opportunity. Content and workflow leverage. AI can handle, there's a shocker at the end of this. AI can handle pattern finding in public records, meeting transcripts, and analytics, and generate translations. It lets a 10-person cluster, like a radio cluster, right, act like a 50-person shop.
Yeah.
So there it is. You know, okay, you got 10 really key people who know how to leverage AI to do different things. There was one other thing, Corey, and this came from Gemini, must have been reading our stuff, and obviously it was. It says one of the opportunities is, with a massive surge in new business applications since 2021, which we've been documenting, and people are going, duh, how do we get to them? Okay, here's what AI says. With a massive surge in new business applications, local media can use AI to efficiently onboard and manage these new high-growth accounts. Didn't say anything about identifying them or locating them, which is actually pretty easy to do through business applications and registrations, right? So there, I think that's some pretty powerful stuff.
There was one ChatGPT for me suggested, you know what you could do? Basically, you could turn their, being SMBs, first-party data into repeatable SMB intelligence. I'm like, woo, that's an AI requesting data. Give me your first-party data. Well, we can do something with it. Ooh, ooh, better wall that garden off.
Was it a female voice that was asking for it? I mean, it'll be okay. I'd really like to have it.
Okay, just hand me your data.
Perplexity told me the same thing, using first-party data plus AI, and it gave us an example,
yep.
Corey, local scope.
Yep.
So it's reading our stuff. If you don't know what local scope is. Go take a look at it, localscope.com, which is AI. Yeah, we can call it AI, right? To show SMBs who actually shows up at their business. There you go.
It's so interesting, side note, that your responses, Gordon Burrell's responses, had a lot to do with Burrell Associates. It pulled in that. I didn't get any specific local scope. The examples you gave, mine didn't give me that. Yours did. So that's interesting how the responses can be different from user to user.
Okay. In the past 2 months, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to give you my answer, and then I'm going to come back to you so you can answer yours. Mm-hmm. In the past 2 months, how many hours have you been on ChatGPT or Gemini or any AI engine, excluding just Googling stuff? So how many hours in the past 2 months? For me, it's somewhere between 80 and 100 hours. Now, I was on a very special project doing a number of different things in addition to what I usually use it for, which is quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So it's probably close to 100 hours or 50 hours a month, more than one full week of work days per month on it. Now, that's probably extreme. What about you?
Well, before I answer, out of those three, do you use them equally or do you use one more than the other?
Don't use Gemini at all. And Gemini is the one that came back and gave me specific information about one of our SMB reports.
So
I may have loaded it into Gemini, but I can't recall doing that. I use ChatGPT probably 80% of the time, Perplexity 15% of the time, Gemini as a stretch, maybe 5%. And we have a professional ChatGPT account, that's why.
I probably use Perplexity the most, and then Chat, and then Gemini, but about the same amount of time. But I'm using Perplexity for a lot of, you know, data crunching and finding sources and things like that.
But how many hours? I told you 100, so don't feel like you need to match it, Corey. I know you're always trying to catch up with me, but I was on a special project, and I will not use it that much in the next 2 months. Maybe I'll probably use
exactly,
you know, 20 or 30 hours at the most.
So in a given week, I'm probably using it, let's call it one, so 155 times 420, what you said, 2 months, 40 hours. There you go.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's an hour a day bouncing off something, rewriting something with Chat or discovering something, you know, a study with Perplexity or something like that.
Gemini is really good at being multimodal, so it can take in whiteboard scribbles and put it together with Excel spreadsheets and understand it all. So that's kind of interesting. That's the upside of Gemini for me. But let's get to the threats, because we're kind of getting long in the jaw.
All right. So threats were listed for me, and I would agree with them. And again, they all seem kind of the same thing. Disintermediation by AI-driven platforms that own the advertiser relationship. That's kind of scary. Perplexed, that was ChatGPT. Perplexed, he said, single greatest threat is disintermediation. AI lowers frictions for SMBs to go direct to big tech self-serve tools. And then Gemini said, devaluation of local inventory and traffic due to AI-driven search.
Yep, I had a lot of the same. Perplexity said platforms and automated ad systems bypass local reps. So SMB relationships and ad budget, they go directly to placements. Gemini said there's a trust deficit that could happen, the flood of AI slop. Automated misinformation threatens the local media company's most valuable asset. And then Chat said the threat could be becoming optional for a media company. If local context and human interpretation aren't clear, SMBs default to self-serve AI tool.
I don't think we needed a robot to tell us this. I think we've been saying it, and other people have been saying it for years, disintermediation and all this. Like, oh, here it comes. Be careful. So, you know, now this is the aggregate of information saying, yeah, pretty much. It's the wisdom of the crowds, right? AI takes the wisdom of the crowds and goes, yep, here's what's happening.
So I think for a media company, then, if you sum all of this up, for me, like the greatest opportunity is using AI to gain efficiency like a tech giant, like that you can do that. You can automate the back office so you can, listen to this. You can automate the back office so you can humanize the front office.
Now, did you come up with that, or did AI come up with that?
I'm going to take credit for that.
Well, I hope this has given people new insights on AI. For God's sakes, everybody's talking about it. I feel like I'm drinking from a fire hose. It's time for the word of the pod, Corey.
Well, I think it has to be about understanding that AI right now might not be your friend. There's a lot that you could distrust with AI. It's that revelation.
Yeah. And by the way, back to the greatest threats for local media, ChatGPT ended with this. I thought it was profound. AI just doesn't automate tasks. It reassigns trust. So what do you got? Word of the pod. What is it, Corey? Come on.
Epiphany. Yeah, how do you spell it? Epiphany.
Epiphany. It's a new word. All right, so we'll break the rule. We're not supposed to tell you what the word means. I mean, you know, we used to say, okay, go look it up. But since you can't look it up, we just made it up. We just coined it. You coined it. All right, what does epiphany mean?
It is the sudden realization that AI is not your friend. Or it's somebody you can't completely trust, one of the two.
Epiphany, sudden realization that AI isn't your friend. That's great. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year to you, Corey.
Happy New Year to you, Gordon.
A big shout out to Ground Truth and Semify for bringing you this show. And thank you for listening. If you enjoy our podcast, please send some stars our way or leave comments on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or whatever podcast platform you use.